from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in Oakland, I'm Michael Krasny, and we are live from the Oakland Museum of California. In this opening hour, as part of our Boomtown series, we're going to discuss the changes presently going on in Oakland and focus our attention on the city's future. We'll talk with a panel, including Mayor Libby Schaff, about concerns over gentrification and public safety, development versus displacement, the cost of housing and renting, job availability, and what some are calling the new culture of money. We'll follow that up with an hour devoted to the growing arts movement in Oakland and the exhibit presently showing here at the Oakland Museum titled, Who's Oakland? Forum is next. Join us for all that lies ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in Oakland, we are live from the Oakland Museum of California. This is Forum, and we have a live studio audience with us. Thank you. We are delighted to be here at the Oakland Museum of California, and they have an exhibit that we're going to find out about in the course of this program, an exhibit that's all about Oakland, as you might imagine, but also an exhibit that really bears some discussion. What we're going to talk about in this first hour really are issues that have to do with Oakland, and Oakland has certainly gotten a lot of buzz. National press lately, the New York Times dubbed the city Brooklyn by the Bay and listed it as a top global destination. While many Oakland residents are thrilled with the new bars, restaurants, and excitement about the city, many worry about the soaring housing and rental prices, gentrification, and the displacement of long-term residents. As part of our Boomtown series, Forum is going to look at whether the Bay Area's economic surge will translate into more jobs and revenue for a city that has long struggled with poverty, crime, and budget shortfalls. First, before I introduce this morning's panel, we're going to hear what we call in the business of Vox Populi. Our producer, Judy Campbell, went out and talked to some Oakland residents.
I feel like I have to work another 10 years to be able to stay here because I would be priced out. That concerns me, that people who have lived here for a really long time can't afford to retire here. My name is Christine Harkinson, and I have lived in Oakland this month. It is 40 years.
My name is Safi Zaki, and I've been a resident of Oakland for about to be 46 years on June 20th. Yahoo! The lake is opening back up again. I can see people doing roller skating again. The community is really getting tight-knit again. People are having barbecues, people are having fun, they're picking up their trash, you know. The thing about Oakland is, like, you live in Oakland, you put it in the trash, you know. If not, somebody's going to check you on it. This is our town, like, we keep it clean.
I lived in the city for, like, 3 months until we moved here, and rent was really cheap. There was nobody here even just 3.5 years ago. And now, I can't move. I can't afford to move to another place in Oakland. And there's just more people moving in from the city, for sure. I don't want it to change so much that we're changing the entire community, but there's more places to go, there's more things to do. I feel like I'm part of the problem sometimes, but at the same time, I'm part of the struggle too, because it is an awesome time to live. It's like you get to the best of the Bay in Oakland. My name's Holly Noto, and I've lived here 3.5 years.
Well, I said I was going to introduce a panel to you, and indeed we have a distinguished panel here with us. Let me first introduce Libby Schaff, who is the mayor of the city of Oakland, and whom I said, it feels like we're in a sacred room here in the Oakland Museum of California. Libby said, of course you're in a sacred place. This is the Oakland Museum of California. Glad to have you with us, Mayor Schaff.
Oh, thank you.
We also have Dawn Phillips with us. Dawn Phillips is the program director at Casa Justa. Casa Justa is Just Cause, and thank you for being here, Dawn.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Greg McConnell is also on our panel this morning. He's president and CEO of the Jobs and Housing Coalition. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you for having me.
And Kate O'Hara is also here. She's executive director of East Bay Alliance for a Sustainable Economy. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you.
Glad to have all of you aboard here. And let me begin, if I may, with you, Mayor Schaff. You know, you come into the museum here and come into Oakland itself, and you realize just how vibrant the city is and how strong the pride is of people in Oakland, and there's a lot of excitement. We'll get into some of the issues that are on the tougher side of things, certainly, but I want to hear from you first what you're excited about, what makes you glad to be the mayor, what makes you feel that you have a visionary community that you can work with here.
You know, there's nothing more exciting than being the mayor of your hometown and a hometown like Oakland, California, at this particular moment in time. The rest of the world seems to be finally discovering just that urban vibration that only Oakland has, what I like to call our secret sauce, our diversity, our inclusion, our artist community, that creative pop that is going on every street corner. The fact that, you know, we have a little bit of a gritty industrial flavor that makes us authentic and real, comfortable. And also our progressive values. I mean, we're the birthplace of social movements. We are social entrepreneurs. There is a value that Oaklanders have that really is welcoming to everyone and makes us a hub for innovation. And that now is not just happening socially, artistically, but we're seeing it as new businesses are finding that Oakland is a great place to be, not just because the rent is cheaper, but because of that creative vibe, the beautiful weather, the stunning architecture, the gorgeous nature, but most importantly, the beautiful people.
It's really nice to have a patriotic mayor, isn't it? with that secret sauce that she has as well. I've got to add here that I found out, you may have left out one thing about Oakland. We feel very much the Forum Program and KQED part of this community. And Libby Schaff, I'm glad to say, has been listening to the Forum Program I discovered before we went on the air here for over 20 years. Very proud to add that into the secret sauce or mix, if I might.
All my policy ideas came from you, Michael. All of them.
We'll have to talk about that. This is now, though. Let's look at some of the things that are more, I suppose, sobering or troubling. This is now the second highest rental, according to the New York Times, place in the nation. And the rents are soaring. And, of course, there's a great deal of concern, anxiety about the highest increase, about displacement. And especially low-income people, but middle-income people as well, and artists, too.
Yeah. As mayor, I get to preside over an interesting time for Oakland. And I need to do that delicate dance of encouraging the growth and prosperity and revitalization that Oakland has longed for, we have hungered for, and we are so deserving of it. But at the same time, we've got to make sure that that growth does not push out or price out our long-term residents, that it lifts up that social fabric, that secret sauce, and does not wipe it out.
You don't want to sell your soul. I think, am I quoting you here?
Yes,
you
are.
Did you get in trouble for that, saying San Francisco sold its soul?
Maybe.
Well, but how do you avoid that? Because the city is $30 million in debt. I mean, you've got a huge deficit, really. It's broke. In San Francisco, they managed to get more revenue, obviously, by bringing in the techs and bringing in a lot of, fostering a lot of growth and bringing in a lot of development. There's a very delicate balance there.
Listen, we're Oakland. We can do this. We can do this the right way because we are smart, we are scrappy, and we are creative. And we recognize that there is not a single silver bullet. And when you talk about the affordability crisis, you've got to look at the full range of menu options. You've got to do it all. Part of that is a market-driven solution to allow market-rate housing to be developed here and not be afraid of that. But part of it is being very mindful and immediately putting some important policies in place to avoid displacement, to preserve and stabilize our neighborhoods. And there are ways that you can create affordability without changing the architecture. And then finally, we absolutely have got to find new funding sources for affordable housing construction. The state took away a very valuable resource from us when they eliminated redevelopment, but we cannot let that stop us from finding some new sources of funding to build more.
Did you let your former boss, Jerry Brown, know your dissatisfaction with that? Because he was singularly responsible for taking away that redevelopment
money.
Well,
it was between him and actually an unexpected court decision that really, in all fairness, was completely to blame.
Well, You said when you took office that the number one issue for you is public safety. That remains the number one issue?
Yes, but I have four priority areas, and four is not a big number, and one of them is equitable jobs and housing. That is absolutely front and center in my mind.
Where are the jobs going to come from? Now, there's a big development project, and we'll talk about that, and yet what I keep hearing is the cranes are not out there. There's a lot of room for housing in Oakland. I mean, you know, in terms of particularly in contrast to San Francisco. And yet we keep hearing this almost as a lament over and over again, the construction is not taking place.
Absolutely. And again, I recognize that market-driven construction is absolutely part of the puzzle for solving this problem. And we are taking great strides in the city by passing area-specific plans. And that does two things. One, it lets us have a thoughtful conversation with the community and come to a collective decision about where we want growth and where we want preservation. In other words, there are parts of Oakland that it's okay to have dense development in, particularly around transit. I mean, we want to think about climate change as we also address our affordability crisis. These area-specific plans pave the way for easier development because we've kind of cleared out some of the red tape by doing the zoning and the environmental clearance, but also telling developers where to build, because Oakland is ahead of San Francisco in that we've got 20% more land mass, but we're starting out with only half of the population. We can't build a wall around this city. We can't prevent new people from moving here. And we should be proud that everyone has discovered just how amazing a place this is to live. And we need that economic vitality, but we've got to be thoughtful and make sure that that new prosperity benefits the people that are already here.
Again, Libby Schaff is mayor of Oakland, and Greg McConnell is president and CEO of Jobs and Housing Coalition. What about the balance the mayor is talking about here, Greg, from your perspective?
Well, I think the mayor is absolutely right. In the lead-in, I thought I heard you say we have to distinguish between growth versus displacement, as though those two things were polar opposites. I don't think that's true. And when we talk about growth, we are not necessarily talking about subtracting from the city. We're talking about adding to the city. There's been a lot going on. All the members of the audience today had to dodge around all of the cranes that they saw littering the streets as they were trying to drive into the museum. And it didn't take them very long to get around them because there are none. We think on the housing side that one of the major problems is that Oakland and the region has just not built enough housing to satisfy the demand that exists.
Excuse me, that's across the board, Greg. We're talking about affordable housing, but we're talking about all housing, aren't we?
Yes, all housing. And for that reason, there's an affordable housing problem for people at the very low end of the spectrum, and there's an affordability problem for people who otherwise might be considered more towards the high end. I look at my son and my daughter, and I wonder, they both have good jobs. They're college educated. One of them works for me, makes too much money. But I would worry about where would they live. I mean, last year we built 888 housing units in Oakland, and only and of that, 75% of them were affordable. And this year we have 920 units under construction. But it's just not enough. Lastly, let me say this. People talk about folks coming over from San Francisco taking over housing from Oakland residents. The fact of the matter is that it's not just people coming from San Francisco. This is the Bay Area. Oakland attracts people from all over the world. Oakland attracts people from the East Coast, the South, from Europe, from Asia. Oakland and the region that is.
And forgive me, but just to segue from what you said, it also attracts a lot of people who are buying up housing from different countries and also people who are buying up housing and turning them over as a quick investment.
Well, that has occurred too, and that occurred a lot during the recession when there was quite a bit of foreclosures. There were quite a number of houses in East and West Oakland that were bought by investors that first were rented because they couldn't sell. Now that the market is going up, those houses are selling as well.
But Greg, let me follow this up with something else, and that is realistically, Oakland, whatever it wants to say about its pride and all the things that it does right and the feeling of diversity and progressive politics and everything, has some serious concerns about the perception of safety and of crime in Oakland. And how does that tie in? Because, you know, you've been working, I mean, your group represents business and developers. How does that tie in with maybe perhaps thwarting what you can develop and sell?
Well, you know, during the recession, everybody told me they weren't coming to Oakland because of the public safety issue. Now that the recession is over and there's quite a bit of prosperity going on, I get calls every day from investors wanting to come into Oakland. I know that these are both commercial investors, and they are major institutional financing companies and also major property residential developers. I just think that at this point in time, this city is so attractive and so on fire that that public safety problem, which is a problem, is not going to deter investment in the city.
So what's keeping Oakland from developing, and what's keeping Oakland from having more development?
Well, there's a lot of things. There's been a big transition in administration. There are a lot of projects, 11,000 odd, in the pipeline. The great people that we have in planning and building and permits and zoning have not had the bench strength that they needed. There's been a great transition in the administration. We are looking at what the mayor is doing. We're proud that she is assembling a team that's going to be able to push these things through. Financial investors had some reluctance, but they are now here. We look at what Mike Gilmetti was able to do with Brooklyn Basin. We look at Lane Partners coming into the Sears building. We think that there has been a necessary transition both in administration and in attitudes of people in the market. We think that has occurred, and we think that we're going to be on a roll soon. But we're not here yet. People keep saying we're in the middle of a boom. We're not yet. If this was a forest fire, I'd say we're at a spark level right now.
Again, Greg McConnell is president and CEO of the Jobs and Housing Coalition. Dawn Phillips, program director of Causa Justa, Just Cause. You guys had a protest earlier today?
Yes, we did.
Okay, can you tell us about that?
Well, we had almost 80 folks out of the legislative forum of the East Bay Rental Housing Association. And what the group was out there to do was to basically say that we have an issue and a problem with the way that the landlord association is essentially working to speed up development, push back on rental protections and tenant rights, and basically continue to increase profits from kind of the speculation in housing and the increasing prices that we've been talking about this morning.
Well, the banner that you have kind of flown much of your own cause behind is displacement, development without displacement. Again, how do you foresee that actually taking place, or where is the balance as you see it?
Right. Well, so we actually agree with the mayor and Mr. McConnell. In our opinion, development and displacement do not have to go hand in hand, right? So we are not somehow people who are saying we want Oakland fossilized and kind of stagnated and kind of left as is. We work primarily in East and West Oakland, and the people that we work with do not need to be told how urgently and how much they desire improvement, change. They want to see their neighborhoods get better. People want to be able to have their children be able to play on the streets. They want to go to good schools. They want to have housing that is healthy and affordable. You know, the folks that we work with are not holding on to some kind of romanticized notion of the past that somehow is better than the present. So that's not the case. But the case is that people, as you said, Michael, are very, very concerned about what they see happening when median average rents in Oakland are right now $2,400 a month, and you need to make $8,000 a month in order for that to be affordable to your family, right?
Frank question. I mean, because you've got about 25% of the loss of African Americans in Oakland. Think this is what's mainly driving it?
The housing prices?
Yes.
Among many things, yes, the housing price is a big contributor. But for us, we see that actually this problem that we have around black displacement, for example, has been about 40, 50 years in the making. You know, Oakland right now, as Mr. McConnell correctly characterized, is at a cusp, right? It's potentially turning a corner where we're going to see a huge amount of investment. Both public and private dollars are flooding Oakland in a way that they have not for decades. But during the lean years, right, what had happened is the schools had deteriorated significantly. The housing stock in Oakland is primarily older, meaning that the overwhelming majority of the housing that people live in the city is over 40 to 50 years old. Right, and that has an impact on the quality of the housing that we have in the city. So during the periods of when public safety was the largest, loudest issue in Oakland, a lot of that had to do with the fact that the jobs had been pulled out of the community. There wasn't the job space, there wasn't the social infrastructure. The city had taken a huge hit in terms of revenue, and that was a problem from the federal level down. Right.
What about the development we're seeing, though? What's in the works?
Well, I think I think the priority, and this I would respectfully ask the mayor to speak in specifics, but we are on the same page that the first step of a successful development program is going to have to be a strong community stabilization strategy, right? And for us, what that looks like is, first and foremost, we have to preserve and improve the existing housing stock that is relatively affordable for the people who live in Oakland right now, meaning the flatland neighborhoods, that older housing where people are paying $1,200, $1,400, in some cases $1,800 a month, might not seem reasonable, but that people can relatively afford. We got to make that housing stock better. We got to strengthen tenant protections. We've been talking to the mayor. For $700,000, we can administer the rent control legislation and the tenant protection ordinance that we were able to pass last year that are a critical component of what's going to keep people in place and really ensure that there are some level of rights and protections for people living in that housing. $700,000 is not a lot of money even for Oakland. That basically means that we need to see that money allocated in this budget cycle, and the mayor can do something about that today.
All right, so, we're going to talk more obviously with Mayor Schaff. We're also going to hear from Kate O'Hara. We are coming up on a break, though, and I want to let you, our listeners, know that we want to hear from you as well. And this doesn't only go out as an invitation to residents of Oakland. It goes out to people who certainly have questions and concerns about Oakland, who may work there, may have family or friends there, or simply may have the concerns over, dare I use the G word, gentrification. Many of these concerns certainly are throughout the Bay Area, but they are big concerns here in Oakland, just like they are in San Francisco. They're just different in some ways. At any rate, I want to invite you to join the program. You can do that now by calling us at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. We'll also hear from those of you in the audience out here. If you have something you would like to contribute to the conversation, if you have a question or comment, just raise your hand and we'll go to you. But in the meantime, those of you listening have an opportunity to participate. Again, our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. Talking with Greg McConnell from Jobs and Housing Coalition, Dawn Phillips from Casa Justa, and Kate O'Hara from the East Bay Alliance for a Sustainable Economy, and Mayor Libby Schaff. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and we are live at the Oakland Museum of California with a live studio audience. Thank you. We're with Mayor Schaff and Dawn Phillips, Greg McConnell, and Kate O'Hara, and you, our listeners. Again, we invite your participation. The toll-free number, 866-733-6786. And I remind the audience that they can join us as well by letting us know that you have something you want to ask or say, and simply raise your hand and we will come to you. I want to go next to Kate O'Hara, though, who is Executive Director of East Bay Alliance for a Sustainable Economy. We didn't have an opportunity to hear from in that first segment. And let's talk first, Kate, if we could, about the Oakland Army Base, because that's where a lot of the ideas and your advocacy comes into play.
Sure. Thank you, Michael. So, you know, we agree with what Mayor Schaaf and other panelists have said about Oakland really being at a critical juncture at this point, right, that development is coming on the upswing and we have critical choices to make as a community about how we're going to grow. And I think anyone that lives in Oakland and the Bay Area knows that these are the questions that are upon us today. And I think what's exciting is that we do have the opportunity to make sure that as we're creating jobs, we're doing so in a way that both lifts the floor on low-wage jobs, but also opens the door to middle-class jobs, and that is as much a part of the community stabilization strategy as the affordability measures that we've already talked about.
You want not just jobs. You want good jobs that are going to be a pipeline to the middle class.
That's right. That's right. And what's great here in Oakland is that we have an example of how we can do that. Sitting right at the foot of the Bay Bridge, nestled between the port and the freeway and the bridge is a major construction project that is underway, and that's the redevelopment of the former Oakland Army base. And this is a project that, thanks to the advocacy of dozens of organizations and hundreds of individuals, went forward with a landmark good jobs agreement that already is putting Oakland residents to work. And is really a model for how you can leverage public land. You know, so this is a site that's publicly owned that's over 200 football fields big, really large-scale site. Public money, hundreds of millions of dollars going in for public good. So we have that in place already, and we're looking at how can we replicate and expand that on the other major projects that are on the horizon and citywide.
Well, let's talk just for a moment about the Brooklyn Basin project, because that's supposed to get literally thousands of jobs, not long-term jobs, many of them short-term jobs.
Right. And Brooklyn Basin does also have hiring agreements attached to it as well, again, thanks to the advocacy of hundreds of individuals that worked many years ago when the project was approved. And because the community was at the table and a part of the long-term agreements, now that the project's under construction, those are coming to fruition as well.
And what about raising pay and raising wages? I know that comes into your schema of concern. There is now a raise in the minimum wage in Oakland, and looking for more?
Well, yes.
Hoping for more?
You know, I think hopefully everybody knows that last fall, 82% of Oakland voters said yes to raising the minimum wage here in Oakland. And so now, as of March 2nd, the minimum wage in Oakland is $12.25 with paid sick days, and for the time being is the highest in the country. And we have seen that has made a tremendous difference in people's lives, right? Low-wage workers.
I don't know if they can still afford the rents, but...
And that's the truth, is that, you know, at $12.25, you're earning $25,000 a year. That is not a lot of money when we hear the rents that Don is quoting. And so we are looking at how do we continue to advance good-paying jobs and look towards a path to get to more like $15 an hour. The city of Emeryville is on the cusp of passing something soon that would do just that, and many other communities in the East Bay as well. And without raising wages on the low-wage jobs, as well as creating pathways to these middle-career, middle-wage jobs, we're never going to solve the crisis.
But are you getting blowback from businesses on the raising of minimum wage? It's certainly happening in San Francisco.
I am.
Mayor Schaaf, you want to respond to that? You are.
You know, I mean, I think it's really early for us to talk about any kind of impacts globally that the minimum wage is having on our economy. What we expect to see is what we've seen in other communities like San Jose when they raised the minimum wage, and San Francisco previously, which is that it actually pumps more money into our economy. The UC economists that looked at this estimate that it's $120 million annually that's going to be put into our economy here, because the fact of the matter is when low-wage workers earn more, they spend more. Someone earning $25,000 a year cannot afford to save that money. They're spending it on shoes and food. And so it's coming back into our economy that way. And so we expect to see, just like what happened in San Francisco and San Jose, is that our economy is going to expand and more jobs are going to be created because of
this.
Okay,
and we're going to expand into the audience. So again, if you have something you'd like to raise or a question you'd like to bring forward, raise your hand. Before I do that, and I'm going to go to your calls as well, those of you waiting on the line here, I want to hear the second half of the Vox Populi that Judy Campbell went out and took of residents of Oakland.
It's a lot more positive things. It's a lot more places for us to go enjoy ourselves now as we're getting older safely. And that's what I feel like we're moving in the right direction, because there was a point in time where we were worried about what there was nothing to do that we felt like was safe, and now it's moving in the right direction. My name is Dominique, and I've lived in Oakland for about 16 years.
I would love to have some clothing stores, decent department stores here in Oakland. We used to have Capwell's and iMagnum's and even Sears, as bad as they were, but at least we had them, you know, in places like that. They don't exist anymore. Bars and restaurants, they're here, you know, but we have enough of those. We don't need that anymore. We need something to boost the economy, and that would be definitely department stores. My name is Gloria Perkins. I've lived in Oakland since 1962.
My name is Clintus Justice, and I've lived in Oakland for about 30, 35 years. It's a little disconcerting that San Francisco, San Jose, everybody's taking off, and we're still trying to figure it out.
Well, as many of you know, Gertrude Stein once said, there's no there there, but there's definitely a here here in Oakland. I'll say that, follow it with here here, right? We're going to go to our audience. You hear these names sometimes when we give credits for people behind the scenes. Amanda Stupai is on my right, our engagement producer, and Tina Larberg, our newest producer, is over here on the left. If you simply raise your hand, we'll be glad to entertain whatever concerns, questions, comments you might have. Please.
Hello, my name is Suzanne Sarli. I'm a 15-year resident of Oakland and East Bay native, also a doctoral candidate at Mills School of Education, artist, educator, mother, and a mother who's lived in poverty a very long time. So my experience in equal housing and opportunity is that I could live in downtown when I was a mother living on welfare when my daughter was very young. I could live in downtown Oakland 15 years ago. Now I've been priced out. I've been to Richmond. I've been to East Oakland. And I'm not the only one experiencing this. My community of artists and activists, and especially those living in poverty and people of color, have been priced out of the central area. I would like to know, specifically Mayor Schaft, hi, nice to meet you. I would like to know either you or anyone else on the panel, the plans to actually create equity in housing and jobs. What are some specific examples you can give of policies or funding measures that are being taken to actually provide these resources for community members? Because I'm going to have to head to another city soon if I don't see things change. I love Oakland.
I'm excited to answer that question. And Michael, you're just going to have to cut me off when I've gone too long. So I want to talk about four categories of actual actions that are getting done right now. And the first category is around fighting displacement. I'm glad we're all on the same page around that is such an urgent need. And there are a lot of things that we can do to create affordability without changing the architecture, without interrupting that beautiful social fabric or changing the character of our neighborhoods that we love so much here in Oakland. So one thing that we're looking at right now is we've discovered a strange tax code, section 236 of the tax code, that actually allows private landlords to get a break from property taxes if they restrict their properties for at least 35 years to affordable rents, and that's HUD-regulated rents. No subsidy from the city government involved. This is an existing tax code. Ideally, you would get people to permanently sell their units to affordable housing developers so you can have permanent affordability, but with no public subsidy, you potentially can have at least 35 years of affordability. And so that's a new tool that we've never used before that we are trying to market to existing landlords. One landlord actually converted 200 units voluntarily to affordability.
And where did that idea come from, Mayor Schaft?
From this particular property owner. He found the tax code himself, he used it, found it made sense for him financially, and so we're trying to market that. Because it provides protections for existing low and moderate income tenants where they are currently living. That is stabilization. Another huge opportunity, we've got to limit condo conversions. Oakland has 29,000 units of rental housing that are in 2 to 4 unit buildings, essentially single family homes that have been converted into duplexes and fourplexes. And we don't have any limitations on converting those very valuable rental units to condos. And again, this allows, income diversity. It allows renters to be in predominantly single-family home neighborhoods. That is great for the vibrancy of our city. We also are very aware that the market is producing pressures on landlords to sometimes effectively evict their tenants by not doing repairs, by subjecting low-income tenants to horrible conditions because they know they won't complain. And so we are working on strengthening proactive inspection programs to ensure that our tenants absolutely live in decent and healthy conditions. And then we are also focused on enforcing our new strengthened rent control rules. And everybody at this table actually worked together about a year ago to significantly strengthen Oakland's rent control laws to make sure that you couldn't use kind of legal pass-throughs to effectively evict someone and price them out. I'm also creating a task force. I see Karen Cusolito here that's going to specifically be looking at artist housing. That's something that's near and dear to my heart. It's something that first brought me to city government. Are you about to cut me off? Because I've got a longer list to go.
At the risk of saying we may, in the interest of time, have to do that, I wanted to add, just because you mentioned artists, we're going to be talking in the next hour to artists. We're going to be talking about the arts in Oakland, but we're also going to be tying it in with housing and the difficulty artists are having finding housing. You want to add one more there?
One more. Impact fees. This is a big deal for Oakland. A lot of other cities charge an affordable housing impact fee for market rate developments. Oakland's never done that. We are actually currently doing the legal studies required. We will be adopting impact fees by the end of this year. That is going to create a new funding stream to build affordable housing in Oakland. Building affordable housing is also part of that solution.
Well, it's certainly impressive, all that you've compiled here. There's still that enormous gap, though, in Oakland between the wealthy and the impoverished. And do you see that really narrowing to a significant degree or to a dramatic degree with all of these fine plans you've outlined?
We see that gap, and obviously we're not unique. It's a problem that the entire country is talking about, income disparity. But we also see, you know, looming what they call the bell bar problem, you know, that you've got, you know, government-subsidized affordable housing. And when you look at Oakland's regional goals, we actually satisfied more than 60% of our regional goals for the very low-income housing development over the last 7 years. We did about a little more than 30% of the above-moderate income. Where we really fell short were for the low- and moderate-income, you know, everyday people, the working families of Oakland. And that's where we also cannot lose sight that we've got to create affordable housing for them. And when I say affordable, I'm not talking about government subsidized. I'm talking about rents that don't take up more than 30% of your income. And affordability depends on how much you make. Part of that also has to do with what Kate was talking about, and that's lifting up wages. I was the first elected official to endorse the minimum wage increase. I joked that I am getting grief from businesses. Of course, it's a very difficult adjustment, but it is critical to look at raising wages, bringing decent wage jobs into Oakland, because that is part of the affordability equation.
And we'll go to another member of the audience. Please state your name and let us know what's on your mind.
Hi, my name's Brian. And I've been a resident of Oakland for about 6 years on and off, and a Bay Area native. And I live downtown Oakland now. And Michael was just talking about gaps, and that's what I see downtown. I walk through the neighborhood, and there's Victorians and a big gap of brownfield and then a big new building. And my concern is about the old buildings downtown, the beautiful, stunning architecture that the mayor mentioned. And I really don't want to see investors come in and say, we just can't work with that. I want to tear it down and put up something new. And as a visual artist, as someone that loves the downtown, I'd like to make sure there's some sort of voice for preserving those and using those buildings instead of leaving them in neglect.
Okay. Michael, can let me, yeah, go ahead, Dawn. So I want to go to Greg on this and Kay,
sure.
Too.
Yeah. So really quick, like a couple of things. I think that in addition to what the mayor's just run through in terms of her stabilization strategy, I think there's one really critical other component that we need to see. We really, really have to figure out how in the development and planning process and this whole kind of rebirth that Oakland is seeing, that we make sure that we are strengthening democratic practices and democratic participation of all residents in this process. Because I think that the equation looks very different when you actually engage longtime residents and people who've been in the neighborhoods a long time, and you say to them, we're developing, we're investing, and what do you want to see? What's needed in this community, and what do we need here? And very rarely, and I've asked that question, you know, I've been out knocking indoors in like East and West Oakland for 20 over years, and very, very, very rarely do I hear, we need a bar, or we need a restaurant, or I need somewhere to get a $6 latte, or even a new yoga studio. Now, granted, when those things come into the neighborhood, you know, it's not that then people won't patronize them, right? I'm not saying that, right? But very rarely are those things the things that you hear from people, right? So if we actually use this process and we use this opportunity as a way to actually build democracy, talk to neighbors, actually place the people who are most impacted at the center of this discussion, and if our city staff and if our elected officials like the mayor do that and make that commitment, I think we will have one a very different discussion and potentially very different outcomes about it.
I have secondly, quickly, Michael, to you, Don. Hold on a second. Forgive me for interrupting you, but I have to say, I'm compelled to say, when you talk about neighborhoods that have yoga studios and Starbucks or whatever, there are also neighborhoods that complain, or bars, that complain that they don't even have enough grocery stores.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really, I think,
absolutely,
the point.
Because, Michael, you absolutely hit the nail on the head. You go out and you talk to people, and, you know, some people are the same people I talked to in 1994. I went to their neighborhood and I said, what do you need? And they said, a grocery store. In 2004, I went to their neighborhood and I said, what do you need? They said, what do you mean? I said, grocery store. And then I come in 2014 and we say, what do you need? And they say, a grocery store, right? So, Michael, you're absolutely right. So some kinds of development are challenging. It is hard. The mayor can speak to this. It is hard to bring grocery stores to neighborhoods. But that is what we need. And when the mayor talks about the brilliance, the creativity, the power of Oakland, I want to believe that. And I want to believe that our mayor and our city staff, they can figure it out. They can figure out how to bring grocery stores to places where it's needed.
Well, that's the secret sauce, isn't it?
So, here's the other thing about this whole question of downtown development. I think this is a very big an important issue for us to talk about. Because for too long in Oakland, there has been a logic that you develop the downtown and it will trickle down to the neighborhoods, right? So between 2000 and 2010, the city spent $95 million of its investment dollars in the downtown. Now that is in comparison to $78 million in West Oakland and only $14 million in East Oakland. Okay? So then if you go to today and you look at how those dollars impacted people, you probably would say, I'm not sure how much people benefited from the Fox Theater remodel and Uptown, right? Because that's where all the big dollars went, right? So we need to ask, does downtown development and there's a hyper focus on investing in downtown, does that actually provide the kind of growth, stability, sustainability in terms of development for the neighborhoods as it is for the city as a whole? So it's a question of priority. So this was during the period where the city really didn't have that much money. But even when we don't have much money, we are yet and still investing billions in public dollars in development and in making things happen.
Don,
so,
let me jump in here.
So downtown versus the neighborhoods, we've got to figure out how to do that.
I want to give Greg an opportunity to talk about the historical development, then we want to go to some phone calls here. Greg, go ahead.
With regard to the historical development that was asked, Oakland does have a very active Landmarks Commission and a very active group of people who try to protect historic properties. And if you notice, a lot of the development that you're seeing is actually using the facades of the historic properties along Broadway where the CVS is, across from the Mercedes-Benz dealership, and other places too. But I need to say something else. We can talk about democratizing development, and we can use phrases like that. And we can say we want a grocery store, or as the lady on the clip said, I want a department store. But we're not the ones who make the decisions as to whether those things get built or not. The people who actually make the decisions on whether they're going to bring those things to Oakland are the financiers, are the developers, are the people who are going to spend their money making it happen. Now, you can say we only want certain things, and if you're not willing to produce those things that we want, we're not going to let you build. And if you do that and they don't build, then you lose the jobs. You lose the opportunities. There is so much complexity to these issues that we banter around about with regard to development, affordable housing, et cetera. City doesn't have any money. They're not investing. I'll pose a question to the audience. You guys are mostly Oakland residents. You approved a parcel tax for public safety of $98 a household. Would this audience approve a parcel tax of $100 a household for affordable housing? When we say we want to democratize it, when we want everybody involved in it, I'll put the question to you. Will you help pay for it?
Just to add to that.
It's Mayor Schaff.
Okay. Just to add to that, I think it's time that we look at a regional affordable housing bond, because we've got to stop looking at this, you know, within our own city limits. People live and work in different places. We have to look at our transportation systems. So, you know, I stirred up a little dust when I talked about some regional ideas around inclusionary zoning credits, you know, passing from San Francisco to Oakland.
Yes,
Don is grinning at me. Everybody, I got in trouble with everybody. But let's shake it up. Come on. You know, we don't have the old tools. So let's start thinking as a region, because this is a regional problem. You know, another thing that nobody's mentioned is the cost of construction in Oakland is the same as in San Francisco, but the rents that Oakland buildings generate is not as high. And that has been one of our challenges with attracting development, is because of the total cost in this region. And I just have to throw in two incentives that the city of Oakland has for historic preservation. The Mills Act gives you a huge tax credit if you invest that money into historic preservation, and our green building code also incentivizes historic preservation. And then the thing I am mad at my former boss, Jerry Brown, about is that he vetoed a state historic tax credit. We will be trying that one again this year.
Well, let me, Michael, if I just may, real briefly. Very, very briefly. I noticed when I asked my question about the audience of listeners outside can't see the reaction that I saw when I asked my question about a parcel tax. I think this lady shook her head yes, and I think this lady did too, but the audience was overwhelmingly silent, overwhelmingly silent about would you pay money into an affordable housing fund to be administered by the city to produce housing.
We call that, in some fashion, a plebiscite. I'm glad you were able to mention it.
Oakland voters have historically passed a lot of tax increases.
I'm not getting through to you. Please. I know that's true.
No,
I want to go to some callers.
Right,
in the interest
of
time.
Absolutely.
And I haven't even gotten to Kate yet. And Kate, hold on, because I will get to you. I'm sorry to have the firm hand here and be like, you know,
something
out of 50 Shades of Grey, but it is part of the role that I have to play. Let me go to a caller. And that's Paige from Oakland. Paige, welcome.
That's Sage. And I work in Oakland and have for a very long time. I am basically part of an affordable housing community, and even more so right now in my work, housing for those that have special needs, have Shelter Plus Care, which is a federal HUD subsidy. And the fair market rents right now in Oakland are $10.25 for a studio. And so they've gone up. They were $9-something, and they were actually 7 years. The Obama stimulus, they were $7-something. So they've gone up. But I go to see a three-bedroom on 86th and MacArthur area, and it's $3,100. So, you know, it's like that is – actually, no, it's $3,500. So each time I'm more shocked. And the discrimination against special needs is we don't want to work with those programs anymore. We have people that can pay rent. And so basically, the you know, that business side of property ownership of landlords and the facilitation by property managers is really excluding both the working poor who are going to Vallejo. I know, because I'm finding housing in Stockton and Fairfield, and that means they're driving. They're already stressed. They're already.
Sage, I'm sorry. Forgive me. We are really short on time. I want to get Kate O'Hare to respond to the point you're making here, which I think certainly you have heard from many.
Sure. You know, it's true from East to West Oakland that residents in a number of situations are being priced out of our community here and are really being pushed out. And, you know, in addition to the tenant protection measures that Dawn and Mayor Schaaf talked about, I do think we have to look at what we can do with the new development projects that are coming online. We haven't yet touched upon a large project that's on the horizon for East Oakland, which is the Coliseum City development. And so this is a project that really represents all of the choices and questions that face us as a community right now. So this is a huge piece of public land. We talk about, you know, sites in the neighborhoods in East Oakland next to the BART station. And we have a question with that is, are we going to develop this in a way that actually connects to East Oakland, that respects the long-term residents and workers in East Oakland, or are we going to wipe people out?
And on that note, thank you, Kate O'Hara. Thank you, Greg McConnell. Thank you, Dawn Phillips. And thank you, Mayor Libby Schaaf. Thank you, our live studio audience, live theater audience. Another hour ahead, we're going to talk about the arts in Oakland in the hour ahead and some of the struggles that artists are having with housing, but also the vibrancy of the arts movement here. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, Tina Larberg, and Susan Britton. Our engineers today were Danny Bringer, Jim Bennett, and Howard Gelman. Our engagement editor is Amanda Stupai, and we get online support from David Marks. Senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our interns are Nunu Teo and Megan Sussman. Special thanks also to Susie Oki for community outreach and to our hosts at the Oakland Museum of California. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.